So I think if someone's thinking about starting a travel company, they have to first think about, okay, do I want to be the one on the ground setting things up there? Or do I want to be sending people to places inbound or outbound?
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
The reason I brought you on here is because I've had a lot of people asking me whether they should start a travel business because they like traveling. I know a few people have done that, but the thing I like about what you did is you picked one country, which you specialize in. A lot of the other travel people, they're trying to be all over the place.
Right.
So I want to know from you, what is it really like building up this business and actually running it? And why did you even get into it?
It's great. Like, we love it. And I do it with my girlfriend, Christina. I mean, it's been a little bit challenging because obviously we didn't know what we were getting into, like a lot of people who start a business. Really, I think having a niche has made it so much easier to get off the ground, because just with content marketing, within 3 to 6 months, we were already getting leads from all over the world. Whereas I think if we were just doing kind of general travel, it would have been a lot harder to stand out. So we picked a market, you know, Japan travel, where we felt we could actually stand out like pretty quickly. That made a huge difference.
Why did you choose Japan? Is it because you like to just travel here, or you thought the niche was that great?
The backstory is I used to live in Japan. I lived in Tokyo for 4 years and I love Japan. After I moved back to the States, I ended up working at a travel company, and that was my first experience in the travel industry. And like a lot of people, I thought the travel industry was dead, you know, from a travel agent or travel company perspective, especially like a lot of young people. I never thought I would ever use a travel company. I thought I would just plan all my own trips, you know, like a lot of my friends. But I ended up working at a travel company, and I realized there's still a lot of demand for this kind of service. And then it was a really gradual decision to choose Japan and to choose to kind of branch off. I mean, basically, I love Japan. I love going to Japan. But that alone would not be a good reason to start the company, obviously. I mean, some of the other reasons were the per transaction cost for a Japan trip tends to be a lot higher than, you know, for example, Peru. So I have some friends who sell Peru travel, but it's a completely different market because people are looking for the cheapest trip. The trips don't cost that much, so they can do the same amount of work that I do, but make a lot less money. And the market is more geared towards budget travelers. So Japan tends to be different. You know, it tends to attract more affluent travelers who they're not necessarily looking just for the cheapest thing at all. There are a lot more people seeking quality and kind of unique experiences. Obviously, you know, there are budget travel companies for Japan too, but it's a more kind of sophisticated market, I guess you could say. Not only that, I mean, people really, really appreciate the quality, and more people are willing to pay for quality guides, quality services, just really good customer service. People really value that. So that was, you know, one of the major reasons why we chose Japan specifically, you know, aside from the fact that it was also our specialty and we know it really well.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned affluent, because I just had Chris on an interview about Tokyo Cheapo.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get on the same page about a lot of things with the prices that he was quoting me, even the one for the apartment, which was, I think, $800 per month around Tokyo. It's just not realistic. And it's not realistic for a traveler, not your own condo, like a decent one. It's just, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It is kind of expensive. And I think it's hard taking even a train from the airport to the city, because it's hard to figure out where you're supposed to go and read the signs and talk to people. So a custom-made trip would make sense to Japan.
Well, that was part of our angle too, was so when I was working at my previous travel company, you know, before I launched my own company, one of the things I noticed kept being a pattern was that really experienced travelers would plan their own trips to so many different countries, but when it came to Japan, they just got confused. know, they plan their own trip to Europe. They plan their own trip to Argentina. Maybe they even plan their own trip to places like Morocco. But then when they start doing research for planning their own trip to Japan, they were just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, there's too much contradictory information online, the language barrier. So that then they would just kind of throw up their hands and start sending out emails to travel companies for help. So a lot of our clients, you know, they're like, this is our first time, you know, using a travel company. I'm like, great. This is actually something we deal with often. I mean, you know Japan now. So hopefully, you know, we usually tell people it's easier than you think, but it definitely it seems like it's going to be really, really complicated. I think what makes it easier than people think is that just kind of the people are very nice and helpful, and you don't have to worry about someone pickpocketing you and things like that.
Actually, a friend of mine just got robbed in Tokyo at 5 a.m, Vietnamese style, with a scooter.
Wow. 5 a.m, though.
Five in the morning, yeah. It was in a pretty decent neighborhood, but yeah, I was surprised about that. But yeah, you're right. It is easier, and it's easier because things run well. Unlike Bangkok or a lot of the Southeast Asian places where things just don't run well ever. Like, it's not consistent. Japan is.
It's another advantage we have is that we have a mutual friend, I think, who has a travel company in Tanzania, and I actually have another friend who also has a safari company in Tanzania. And that, I mean, things run pretty well. Guides show up and things like that. But in Japan, we're so spoiled because just everything is just so efficient. So I know people who have Italy travel companies and things like that. And they're constantly dealing with train didn't come, or, you know, the guide didn't show up, or just crazy stuff. So that's another reason why Japan is just such a, it made so much, basically when we were thinking of the company and did it make sense, it was like, okay, do we love it? Are we good at it? And is the market good? Does this make sense? Obviously, we had no guarantee that it would work out, but it's been a year and a half, and so far, so good.
Yeah, I think the niche is pretty good. It would be like going after South Korea, which is similar, very similar, hard to get around, and also things do run pretty well.
Somebody could totally take South Korea. The only problem is that my family is from Colombia, South America.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this with Colombia also. And you could, but the problem is the demand for Japan is so much higher than it is for Colombia or South Korea. So you don't even have to think about kind of creating a market or trying to persuade people like choose South Korea. Yeah, I mean, it's just there. You know, so many people are already.
That's true.
It makes it a lot easier.
What do you think separates you from other similar companies like yourself in Japan trying to get custom trips created for people coming to Japan?
I mean, we did our own market research, and it was just based on kind of experience and Googling and, you know, asking around, but there wasn't really another young company that specialized only in Japan and did our kind of trips. So there are a couple of other companies that specialize only in Japan and they do high-end cultural trips, but they're older. They're from a different generation. They're in their 50s and 60s, and they're great companies. You know, they're completely highly, highly respected companies and offer fantastic trips, but it's just a generational difference. They kind of have a more traditional view of Japan. If you go to their website, it's all geishas and the tea ceremony. So we wanted to kind of broaden the perspective of what people are going to consider Japan. So that's why we try to surprise people a little bit and include more kind of fun stuff. The other thing is, basically, there are other cool young travel companies, but there aren't any other ones that only specialize in Japan that I've seen so far. I mean, there's always new stuff happening, but it was kind of a market that existed, but there was a lot of room for differentiation.
What surprised me is that Starbucks is so prominent here and that young kids eat bread.
Yeah, it's controversial. We met an old woman last year. We were on a sake tasting tour, and she was like, I fed my kids rice. She was like, I didn't feed them bread. She was bragging.
That's something you only understand by coming to Japan.
Yeah, for sure.
When you did start the company, take me through some of the challenges, because what I think is happening, that people do think it's a good idea to start a travel business just because they do like to travel and they want to just be able to do it for free.
So it's a really, I mean, if I had known, I've heard a lot of people say this, but if I had known all of the logistical things that would be required to run this kind of business, I think it would have scared me, because we're responsible for people from the moment they land in the country until the moment they leave. And that means their accommodations, their travels, their guides. And so even in a country like Japan, so many things can go wrong. I mean, the weather, the train could be late, the guide could get sick, just even in such an efficient place, there are so many possibilities for things to go wrong. So we are basically, you know, a tour operator. We basically are taking care of people from start to finish. And it can be a little stressful at times. You want to make sure people are having the best time possible all the time and that everything goes perfectly. And no matter how well you plan things, something can go wrong on occasion. So there are so many different kinds of business models in the travel industry. I mean, ours is really just one of kind of arranging people's trips from start to finish. And the great thing about it is that we get to work with really cool people. You know, we get to go to Japan and do research and stay in hotels and have great meals and meet fascinating people. But it's not the typical online business. It's like the furthest thing from passive income there could possibly be. If someone is thinking of starting a travel business, they have to first figure out, do a little research into the industry to see kind of what works and what doesn't work. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize the ins and outs of the actual established travel industry.
So how's the market research work? How long do you come to Japan for, and do you pay for the actual experiences, or do you get them for free as someone that can maybe bring traffic on?
So far this year, we've spent about 2.5 months out of about 4 months in the whole total year. Last year, we did about 4 months in Japan. And yeah, I mean, we pay for basically everything. Sometimes we can write to a hotel and say, you know, we're going to be in your city and here's who we are. And we want to come check out the hotel. And if there's a chance to stay for free, let us know. And so we've gotten to stay at some really amazing places, but usually we pay for everything.
Yeah, so I think people thought that they could just stay in things for free as the ones that would be bringing the traffic in. And I see that a lot in people that travel. They want to combine their hobby with something like what you're doing. And I usually don't like things like that. I usually think it ruins the hobby for me. If it's something I like doing, and then you just make me have to make it into work.
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. My girlfriend and I, we've been traveling around for the past year and a half, and we actually just moved back to San Diego and just kind of stopped traveling for a while. And we're actually really excited just to take a trip and not have it be working and being a digital nomad. We, you know, just go somewhere for a week or two, and we're always happy to do a little bit of work, but it'll be fun to just kind of be tourists and not constantly permanent travelers.
It's a good message. If you want to stop being a tourist and traveling, start a travel company.
Most of the time, it's like a dream job. There's a lot of times when we're eating at an amazing restaurant and we're like, wow, this is research. This is pretty freaking awesome. And over the past year and a half, we've gotten really, really good at figuring out who our ideal clients are. And we've gotten very good at saying no. So, you know, we turn down most inquiries actually just because maybe they're not the ideal fit. So more and more we're just working with our ideal clients who are awesome. People who travel, especially people who want to take interesting trips to faraway countries, you know, they tend to be more interesting, I think. So we get to interact with some really cool people. And nowadays, I mean, we're only really taking kind of 2 or 3 clients a month. Either we were smart or we got lucky, but our business model was kind of based around the high end and based on providing just great value, but not necessarily being the cheapest. So when we work with these clients, I mean, they're appreciating all the effort we're making and they're not penny pinching. So it's a lot more rewarding, I think, you know, than just trying to do a high volume, low budget thing.
So what's an ideal client for you?
A typical client from us is we get a lot of couples and they tend to be in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. And they usually come from cities. A lot of people from New York, LA, Hong Kong, Sydney, and London. It's pretty common that they're from big cities. And they love food. They love art. And it's funny. We kind of played around with different ideal clients and different... We have some friends who have a travel company that specializes in ultra high net worth individuals. And that basically it's like private jets and, you know, everything is just luxury, 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 luxury. And we kind of experimented with that for a minute, but we realized it's not really us. And also we don't necessarily want to work with people who just want luxury just for the sake of luxury. It's actually a lot more satisfying for us to work with people who they appreciate luxury, but they also appreciate maybe a night somewhere more unique. They were backpackers when they were 20, in their 20s, and now they're in their 50s. They want the comfort, but they still want to actually have kind of unique experiences.
So how do you find out if the customer is the right customer? Do you interview them, or do you have some kind of a survey that you send out to them?
We get our first sense from what they write to us when they inquire through our website or give us a call. And usually from the first email, we can at least eliminate a few people, because some people just send us an inquiry, but they won't say anything. They'll write like three words and say, Japan trip, 7 days, and that's it. Whereas our ideal client usually will say, hi, you know, I read your website. I love what you guys are doing. Here's what we're looking for. They might write a few sentences or more. We only want to work with people who are actually going to take a semi-active role in the trip planning. You know, if someone just writes back and says, I don't know, just, you know, give me the perfect 7-day trip, just plan it for me, it's not going to work. So it's kind of a little bit of back and forth. We have to make it easy for them because they're usually pretty busy people, but at the same time, they have to actually care.
So what has the growth been like since, you said it started a year and a half ago?
Yeah, we launched in October 2013, then we had our first sale in January 2014. It's been really steady. I mean, growth in terms of like revenue or just clients?
Both stability of clients and revenue.
It's been really steady. I mean, at the beginning, we were getting about one inquiry a month for the first few months, and then maybe the content started to propagate or something, but we started to get a little bit more. I mean, now we get several inquiries a week. We've started to actually tighten the faucet a little bit, so we've started to make it just a little bit, just a tiny bit harder to contact us. Just saying things like, you know, if your trip's coming up within X amount of time, we can't help you, or we kind of are trying to weed out more people at the start. In terms of revenue, I mean, we've surpassed our goals for, you know, for the past year and a half, for sure. I mean, we're approaching $1 million in sales. It's a very seasonal business. So spring and fall are basically everything. And then summer and winter are pretty slow. So it's a good time to kind of do other stuff.
Interesting. What type of marketing do you do?
We really only do content marketing. So we really only do blogs. I mean, we also have minor presence on social media. We post regularly on all the channels, but we don't do, I use Twitter more, you know, use Twitter more for networking with other industry people, other Japan people and travel people, not really for client acquisition. I mean, basically we've just kind of created a content plan and just gone with that in terms of writing blogs that our avatars would find useful. So when we started, we were like, marketing strategy. We don't know anything about marketing, but maybe we should just write a blog answering hypothetical questions that we think people would ask about traveling to Japan. Even though we haven't really had anything else to compare to, it's worked for us really well.
It seems like it's working. We spoke briefly about challenges. Can you take me through one of the biggest ones when you were building the company in the beginning, and how did you overcome it?
The first biggest challenge was figuring out how to build the company. So coming from not from a business background, just figuring out, you know, I didn't know really anyone I could ask about how to start a travel company. You know, what licenses do you need? Do you need a license? What insurance do you need? And there wasn't a resource for that. And obviously I've thought about creating some kind of resource for that, but I'm not sure how in demand it might be. But anyway, so I mean, that was kind of the first obstacle, was just putting all the information together. And every state in the U.S. has a different law with regard to travel. So you need a license in some states. You don't need a license in other states. But if you're going to sell to someone in that other state and they require a license, then you need to get a license from that state. So just kind of things like that were stumbling blocks at the beginning. After that, the biggest challenges we had was growing and being able to handle the amount of inquiries we were getting for a while. So we went from basically getting a couple of inquiries a month to forming an alliance with a company that was starting to send us tons of leads. We were getting 10 inquiries a week from them. So, you know, we were working, you know, 14-hour days, and finally realized we needed to hire an assistant. So we hired an assistant. And then keeping an assistant was extremely challenging. One of the biggest challenges we had was the quality control of an assistant, because we decided to go virtual. So we had a VA in the Philippines.
Right.
And that ended up being really good for about 6 months, but then the quality started to fade. So we had to actually let her go. We've had so many challenges. 3 months after we launched the company, you know, starting to look at our projections and freaking out that, you know, we might need to do something else.
I think I spoke with you around that time. We had a call and you were thinking about SEO and I wasn't sure if that was the right move.
Yeah, I remember. That was when we had just started. One of the industry-specific challenges we've had was just finding good guides to work with. In Japan, accommodations tend to be really good. You know, the transportation works really well, but finding guides that we could actually really, really vouch for and say, you know, tell our clients, this guide is awesome. Here's who they are. Here's what they know. And they're going to give you a really, really good time. That's probably been the hardest part in terms of just our product.
So you're not actually doing the guiding yourself. You hire the guides out.
Right.
You mentioned before that there are different types of travel businesses. And do you mean businesses that target different types of demographics or just completely different types of travel businesses?
I mean, I feel like there are infinite numbers of business models. I mean, you could start, for example, I know a guy who has a company in Albania that they specialize in off-road tours of Albania. To me, that couldn't be further from what we do. So there's outbound, there's inbound, there's travel agents, there's tour operators. So, I mean, what we basically qualify as kind of an outbound tour operator because we're based in the US, but we send clients to Japan and we put everything together. And then on the other side, there are inbound tour operators who basically they receive clients from people all over the world, you know, whether direct customers or travel agencies. And they put everything together in the country. So I think if someone's thinking about starting a travel company, they have to first think about, okay, do I want to be the one on the ground setting things up there? Or do I want to be sending people to places inbound or outbound? That's just one of the many differences. But there are so many different possibilities. I have another friend in Osaka who he had no tourist industry background. I mean, he was just kind of trying to figure out what to do. And one night at a bar, he had inspiration and just bought 5 bicycles and started a bicycle tour. So
that's funny.
He didn't know what he was doing, but it's taken off using TripAdvisor and just kind of smart referral marketing. They're extremely successful now. So that would qualify as kind of just, it's not really inbound. That's just, he just has a tour company, but you can do anything really. So one thing I wanted to add, we're actually starting a new company also.
Oh, okay.
We've decided to use Boutique Japan as kind of lead generation almost because we get a lot of VIP clients. So like a guy who just booked his trip a couple of days ago owns a basketball team in the NBA. And so we were thinking these people aren't probably going to go back to Japan next year or maybe never.
Right.
We've done all this work. We've gotten these wonderful people that we love, they're cool, they love to travel, we enjoy talking to them and working with them. What can we do? So the obvious conclusion was we need to start another travel company where we basically take some of our best clients and invite them to our new company, which doesn't have a name yet, but it'll be invitation only, kind of exclusive in that way, and using all the connections we have all over the world to put together trips for them to try and basically be their quote-unquote agents for life.
That's smart.
We're going to see if it works, but I mean, there are these great people who travel so much, and we actually have, from being in the travel industry and going to travel shows, we have great relationships with really cool people doing cool stuff in other countries. So we were like, well, let's put those two together and see if that works.
Yeah, I want to hear how that works out. On paper, it sounds amazing.
We're getting ready to launch it this month. So we're going to kind of test invite a few of our past clients, see what kind of feedback we get, and then maybe expand the invitation a little bit to a few others. We need to diversify because if you think about only specializing in Japan, it helps us stand out in that market, but it's quite fragile, you know? I mean, if there's a tsunami or something, then our business is down for 3, 6, 9 months.
It could be anything. It could be another nuclear thing.
Exactly. So if something like that, we started the business after all that stuff happened, but if we don't have a slightly less, a more anti-fragile business, then we'll be screwed, basically.
It's funny that you mentioned accidents that could happen. We went 45 minutes away from the house here, and we drove to the ocean. And I'm looking to the right, and I'm looking to the left, and I ask, hey, what's that? And she's like, the wife says, nuclear plant.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that made me feel really secure.
Seriously. So that's the next project for us. And then after that, we're also starting something to help solopreneur travel agents, basically, with their content marketing. We're too jealous of all our friends with like straight up online businesses and courses. We're like, all right, we need to get into that. Our clients are awesome, but like once a week or once every 2 weeks, there's like a small issue and then we have to like put out a little fire. And it's like, yeah, dealing with clients on the ground is great because we don't have that many, but it's still more stressful than, you know, just having a product.
So what you're saying is you went into the travel business because you love to travel. You're the travel industry. Now after dealing with clients, like everybody else, you're thinking how to stop doing it.
See, here's the thing. So the less we're getting to like our happy spot, we actually still have a lot of clients who haven't traveled yet, who booked their trips back when we were a little less cautious about who to accept as clients, if you know what I mean. Nowadays, basically pick and choose, not because we're snobs, but because we value our time, like I'm sure you do. And it's just a pleasure to work with an awesome client, but it's not necessarily fun to work with someone who's not pleasant or demanding, etc. At the same time, I mean, we don't want like a client heavy business. You know, it's, you know how it is.
When I don't want to work with a client, I simply tell them next month, we're done, right?
Yeah.
But when a client's out in Japan on your tour in the middle of it, it's not like you can say, well, you know, you're an a-hole. Like, we're done. Good luck. You can't do that.
No. Well, I mean, luckily, we've never had a situation like that. In all the clients we've ever had, we've only had one client who ended up just complaining a lot. And we talked to everyone and, you know, their guides. And it just kind of turned out that they just weren't going to be happy no matter what. So we basically figured out a diplomatic solution and then call it quits.
Wow. If someone wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
Twitter is good. We're at Boutique Japan, which is just on Twitter. There's no vowels, so it's BTQJPN, or the website boutiquejapan.com, or my email, which is just andres@boutiquejapan.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.